We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
More bonus material as we look back to season opening wins in 2007 at Minnesota and 2008 at Pitt on this edition of the Ziggy Cast.
This is the BGSU Ziggy Cast from Learfield, your home for Falcons updates, interviews, previews, and highlights. Now, here is your host, Todd Walker.
Another trip down memory lane here on the Ziggy Cast as this time we remember the season openers from 2007 and 2008, the final two seasons under head coach Greg Brandon. The Falcons opened 2007 with an overtime win at Minnesota, and 2008 they began the season with a win at Pittsburgh. We'll begin with the 07 game at Minnesota. The Falcons bolted out to a 21-0 lead and took that margin to the halftime locker room, but the second half was all Minnesota until late in the fourth quarter. They led 24-21 as we pick it up as it sounded that day on the Falcon Sports Radio Network from the Metrodome. Yours truly and Cal Bowers on the call.
So the Falcons with 2:07 to go, two timeouts from their own 19. Realistically, you got to think you need at least the Minnesota 30 to have a shot at a game-tying field goal. So that's 50 yards, 51 yards they need on this drive.
Todd, we can do it, though. We did all first half.
Tyler Sheehan alone in the shotgun. Corey Partridge, if you're just joining us, out of the game with an ankle sprain. Five wide for BG. Sheehan accepts the snap. Over the middle, it's caught by Marcus Parks. And he will be right at the 30, and that should be enough for the first down. And it will be. Actually, they're going to mark him at the 31 on the forward progress. Or will he? No, they'll play right at the 30. That's 11 yards and a first down. Under two to go. BG down three. First and 10 at their own 30. Sheehan alone in the backfield in the shotgun. Throws quickly left side to Zach Charles, and he gets away from a big hit but still loses the yard.
I don't understand that play, Todd.
Well, Dominique Barber and that play will waste a lot of time and gain nothing. In fact, lose a yard. Charles took a pop on that play and may be shaken up here. Falcons, the game ticking away now. Under 90 seconds to go. Second and 11 from their own 29. Down by three. Sheehan in the shotgun. Rolling to his left. Fires downfield and it is nearly intercepted. He really tried to force it there. And now third and 11.
Yeah, he absolutely forced it. But again, he was kind of flush out of the pocket, tried to make a play, but with time ticking down, he back of Tyler's head, he's like, he just knows he's got to get a ball out there. And unfortunately, we didn't come up with it. And Minnesota almost made an interception.
So the game comes down to this. Third and 11 at their own 29. BG down 24-21 with a minute 15 to go. Sheehan in the shotgun. Empty backfield. Five wide receivers. Sheehan back to pass. Throws right side. Caught by Ransom. Trying to get away. He won't. Short gain. It'll bring up fourth down. Ryan Collado made the initial stop. And the Falcons will burn their second timeout. It'll bring up fourth down and six.
Timeout, Bowling Green, their second timeout.
Falcons trailing 24-21. Get a quick update, Fricker sideline report with Alex Mikus.
Thanks, Todd. Zach Charles, on a previous play, went down pretty hard. He got popped, and he is really favoring that right leg as he came up limping on the play, and he's in a lot of pain.
Fourth and seven, Bowling Green at their own 33, trailing 24-21 here at the Metrodome. 1:05 to play. Sheehan alone in the shotgun. Five wideouts for BG. A first down or they lose. Sheehan accepts the snap. Down the field, Barnes, 42-yard line. First down, Bowling Green. Clock under a minute will stop temporarily. A 10-yard pickup for Freddie Barnes. Falcons got to get up to the line now. First and 10.
Smart read by Freddie Barnes there. The defense of what they're giving them, Todd. Came back after the ball and got a great first down for the Falcons.
Falcons down three. Clock ticking. 55 seconds now. Falcons have one timeout. First and 10 at their own 43. Sheehan in the shotgun with five wides. Down the middle. Barnes inside the Minnesota 40. Down to the 36. And the Falcons will stop the clock temporarily. 21 yards on that play to the Minnesota 36. So Freddie Barnes with two big receptions, moving the chains. And the Falcons only one timeout now, so they're going to try and save it here with 40 seconds to go. They're at the Gopher 36. Sheehan again alone in the shotgun, five wide. Clock ticking. He takes the snap with 31 seconds to go. Sheehan looking. Right side. Nearly intercepted twice. And nearly caught by Ransom. It was first deflected by Jamal Harris, then another Gopher had a shot at it. Ransom had a shot at it. Nobody caught it. It's incomplete. 27 seconds left. Second and 10 from the Gopher 36.
Todd, if you're a Falcon fan and your heart's not beating big time right now, I don't know what's wrong with you. We've got a chance here to put one in the end zone or at least get a chance to score here. Gosh darn it. Come on, Falcon.
Sheehan with a second and 10 call from the Gopher 36. Falcons have one timeout left with 27 seconds to play. They're down three. Sheehan alone in the shotgun. Steps up. Fires down the middle. It's over the head, off the hands of a receiver, and incomplete. Tyrone Prani, I believe, was the intended receiver. Or was it Brighton? Let me get a second look at it. He probably should have caught that ball. It was Derek Brighton. That was through the hands, and you've got to catch
you've
that
got
football.
You've got to catch those balls, Todd.
Third and 10 for the Minnesota 36. Long field goal from here, folks. Falcons have one timeout left. Sheehan breaks the huddle. He'll have Ransom on his left hip. Shotgun from the Minnesota 36 on third and 10. Tyler down the middle. Barnes catch inside the 20. First down, Bowling Green at the 18. That's an 18-yard pickup. 16 seconds left in the game. Falcons need to get up the line quickly and spike this ball and save their one timeout. 10th play of the drive here. Sheehan spikes it with 14 seconds to go. And now the Falcons in a position to get a winning score. 14 seconds to go. Second and 10 now.
Todd, he threaded that needle just beyond the reach of number 46. John Shelvin has been making plays all night for Minnesota. Great pass by Tyler Sheehan.
Well, now if you're Tyler Sheehan, though, Cal, you can't get greedy. Don't be stupid. You're in field goal range. Don't force it over the middle. Don't throw it late over the middle. make the smart play.
It'd be nice to have that one touch of timeout left, wouldn't it, now?
Well, yeah, it would be. They have one left. Falcons do. Down three. 14 seconds to go. Falcons at the Minnesota 18. Shotgun for Sheehan. Ransom on his left hip. Tyler back to throw. A lot of time. Flush to his right. Throw it away. And he does. That took down to 6 seconds.
Ooh.
Well, now you got a kick, don't you?
You got a kick, yeah.
Yep.
You don't have enough time to...
And here comes the field goal unit. Well, if he'd have decided a couple seconds quicker to throw that away, maybe you run another play. But the Falcons, on 3rd and 10 now from the Minnesota 18, will run out the field goal unit. Sinisha Vervilo had one blocked earlier. This is a 36-yard attempt with 6 seconds to go. What do you say about overtime?
Let's do it.
It is good. Sinisha Vervilo redeems himself from an earlier miss. And with 3 seconds to go, we are tied at 24 apiece. How about that drive for Tyler Sheehan and the BG Falcons? 12 plays. 63 yards in 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Let's get a quick sideline report for Frickers with Alex Mika.
Yeah, Todd, before that drive, Freddie Barnes was really talking to his other offensive players, and he really stepped up on that drive, making a couple of huge catches. A real clutch play from a veteran leader.
And now the Falcons will kick it away to Minnesota. They'll just squib it along the ground and hope for overtime. Vervilo kicked it high and out of bounds. Way out of bounds. So they'll have to kick it again. Or how does this rule work? Again, I got to admit, they change these rules so often, I don't know if you can decline that or not.
Kick out of bounds. Kicking team. The ball will be put in play on the 35-yard line. First down.
He'd much rather wish he had somebody had touched that thing and ran off 3 seconds. So the Gophers will have one final look at it from their own 35. And look, for all the world, Vervilo kicked that out of bounds on purpose. I mean, it was way out of bounds.
Absolutely. He shanked it to the right.
It was a good 10, 15 yards out of bounds. So Minnesota will go to the Hail Mary try here, and they've got two big receivers, Decker and Wheelwright. They're out to the right. Weber's in the shotgun. Final play of the fourth quarter here. We're tied at 24. Weber, a lot of time against minimal rush, fires deep downfield, and that ball is going to be knocked down, intercepted by BG at their own 17.
Hey, make a that play.
P.J. Mahone coming out of there with it to midfield into Minnesota territory at the 40. Pitches it back. It is accepted by Terrell Lewis. He is finally put down. No, he flipped it backward to Antonio Smith. Smith running backward at the Minnesota 40, trying to get to the left sideline. Turns upfield at the 35-30. Can't go out of bounds. Pitches it back now to BG Terrell Lewis. And finally tackled at the Minnesota 32-yard line by Decker. And to overtime we go. Boy, Cal Stanford popped into my mind there for a second, or some other miracle, but it didn't work. So Bowling Green takes a little momentum to overtime, and we'll be back to talk about that after this break. We're tied at 24 after regulation. You're listening to Bowling Green Football. Back at the Metrodome in Minneapolis, Todd Walker along with Cal Bowers, Alex Mikas on the sidelines, Jason Aldrich back at Falcon Central. How do you feel about some free football? Overtime here at the Metrodome. Falcons led 21-0 at the half. Minnesota tied it and took the lead 24-21. But BG took over with 2:07 to go at their own 19 and two timeouts. Drove it down to the Minnesota 18, and Sinisha Vervilo connected on a 36-yard field goal to tie the game and send it to overtime, 24-24. So each team will get equal possessions. They will have another coin flip here to see who gets to decide what's what in the OT, Cal. And Falcons got a second life here. Looks
yes,
like they were beat They got rejuvenated, I think, by that field goal late and then the weird end of the game play where they lateraled three times and nearly pulled out a miracle. Seems to have lifted the spirit.
Absolutely. If, you know, they know they're back in the game. The way our offense really has played the last couple of series, other than the series before this one, before we scored, we weren't running too bad. We know our plays are working against this defense. This gives Tyler Sheehan another chance here to put it in the end zone.
There we go for
Bowling
the toss.
Green will call the toss. During the overtime period, each team is allowed one timeout. You'll call the toss. What are you going to call? Call a heads.
BG calling it?
Called heads. It is a heads. You've won the toss.
BG wins the toss.
You can go on offense or defense.
Corey Lichtensteiger says defense first. So the Falcons will be on defense to start overtime, and that's the conventional wisdom, Cal. You want to play defense so then you know what your offense needs to do. You know, who knows if that really makes any difference, but that's the conventional wisdom, and the Falcons will play defense to start. So regardless of this outcome tonight, a lot of positives for Bowling Green. Tyler Sheehan has really proven that he is the starting quarterback, I think.
Yep.
Justifying Coach Brandon and Coach McCall's decision to make him the starter. He has been solid to outstanding today. BG defensively, they've been pushed around here in the second half, but you know, you think about the Mid-American Conference schedule, you don't see many gopher offensive lines out there.
No, and I think teams that are going to have Bowling Green on the schedule, including Michigan State next week, and they've got to deal with a pretty darn good offensive scheme with Tyler Sheehan, but also with Anthony Turner back there. Anthony Turner looked very good.
He was effective most of the time.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Running the ball, and he can make the pass as well. So there is a threat with Anthony Turner sitting back there and picking apart as well. So this is going to be a fun year here, Todd. We got one game to focus on right now, though.
Turner did score a 70-yard touchdown run for BG's last touchdown. So they get it at the 25, Minnesota does. If you're not familiar with the overtime rules, each team gets an equal amount of possessions. It's just like first and 10 at the 25. You keep moving it till you have to give it up or you kick a field goal. If the defense scores here for BG, they win. First and 10 at the BG 25 in overtime. Minnesota will set it up on the shotgun with Penix off the left hip of Weber. They hand it to Penix, and off the right side, he'll get two or three. Falcons able to stuff it right there. And on the tackle for Bowling Green was Jamal Brown, among others. So a two-yard gain. Makes it second and 8. Overtime here at the Metrodome, tied at 24. From the BG 23, Minnesota sets it up. Weber in the shotgun with Penix off his right hip. They hand it to Penix, running room, and out of a tackle, touchdown, Penix. Gophers take the lead. There's a big hole, and one guy had a shot at him, but not a real good shot, and Penix takes it home from 23 yards out, and the Gophers grab the lead in overtime, 30-24, pending the PAT, and Penix, that nice hole, and Jared Sanderson overran it, got cut back on, Amir Penix, touchdown, and now the all-important extra point here in the overtime to give Minnesota a 7-point lead. Jason Giannini will boot it. Falcons are offside, and the field goal, the extra point's no good, but Joe Schaefer was way offside unless the ball moved or something. He is protesting heatedly. And he is upset that they're not giving him the call. And now you wonder about Minnesota going for two here. I doubt they would do that. The kick did not go through, so they're going to have to run another extra point of some variety here.
Dead ball foul. Snap infraction on the offense.
Oh, that was on
the
offense.
5-yard penalty. Repeat the down.
The play basically never happened is what it amounts to. It's just like a false start.
So the missed extra point does not even count as whistles were blowing and all of that. So Giannini will now have to back up 5 yards and boot what amounts to a 25-yard PAT. 30-24, Minnesota has grabbed the lead here in overtime. Giannini to make it a 7-point lead. And he does. So the Falcon offense now must score a touchdown and an extra point, or the game goes to the Gophers. By Penix on that last run, he got a great block from Ryan Ruckdashel, his left guard, and he turned it up on the hole quickly. And as I said, Sanderson came up from the secondary, and Penix set him up with a nice inside-out duck move, and he was gone. And now Bowling Green's offense must score. They have it at the Minnesota 25, first and 10. Down 31-24 in overtime. Falcons were great on their last possession of regulation. What can they do in overtime? Sheehan in the shotgun. Bullock is with him on his right hip. Trips to the right. Single receiver left is Freddie Barnes. They throw it right on a quick slip screen to Ransom. He gets inside the 20, then the 15, outside of the 10, out of bounds.
Great offensive call by Mick McCall and the offensive staff there, Todd. They had a pretty good idea. They're going to bring the house and just made wide open for Ransom just to take that little swing pass and make a play.
Out of bounds at the 9 means it's first and goal. Bowling Green down 31-24. We're in overtime. They must score now or the game is lost.
Dominic Barber needs to pick his jock strap up there at 20-yard line, Todd. What a great move by Ransom on that play.
Shotgun for Sheehan. Bullock is with him on his left hip. Minnesota showing blitz. Here they come up the middle. Sheehan giving ground, throws. And man open. It is a Bowling Green touchdown, Marcus Parks. Touchdown, BGSU. From 9 yards away, and BG now a PAT away from sending it to double overtime. It looks like the offense is staying on the field, Cal.
Let's do it, Tom. Might as well put it in, my man.
So Greg Brandon says it's winning or losing time right here. And Tim Brewster of Minnesota want a timeout. Falcons look like they're going to go for two. And Minnesota's going to use their one overtime timeout. 31-30.
Timeout. Minnesota.
Minnesota leads. And the Falcons now will set up. Let's see if they change their mind now since Minnesota took the timeout. I think you go for two. Don't you? I mean, the defense hasn't stopped them all night long here in the second half. I think you go for two and end this thing right here.
What do you say? I'm 50-50, Tom. I think you go for one, tie it up, and give yourself another chance here. But, you know, we go for two, we make it. Hey, we're world beaters tonight. But
remember Northwestern?
Absolutely. I was there at that game. That was a lot of fun.
Is there some kind of trick play for the two-pointer? Is this something that Greg Brandon and Mick McCall have done in their laboratory, some kind of evil, diabolical two-point conversion?
You know, Coach Brandon, when he came under Coach Urban Meyer, I mean, he was the architect of that crazy offense with Josh Harris, and obviously after Josh Omar Jacobs thrived in.
Overtime, Falcons have scored to get within 31-30 in the first overtime, and BG is going to go for two. Quite simply, they score the two, they win. They don't, they lose. Sheehan will set up in the shotgun. He has Bullock on his right hip. Winovich goes in motion. Now over to the right side of the tight end. Now Barnes in motion, left to right. Sheehan takes the snap. Rolls to his right. Fires to the right side. Barnes! 2 points! BGSU! 2 points! BGSU! And the Falcons steal it in overtime at the Metrodome! Final score! Bowling Green 32! Minnesota 31!
What are you saying?
Freddie Barnes! What a second half! He came up big twice on the game tie drive. He comes up big with the game winning 2-point reception. And Bowling Green wins at the Metrodome 32-31. How you like that, Falcon fans?
Un-Falcon believable, my friends.
Woo!
Oh my gosh.
BG wins it. Let's head for our ProMedica Health Systems post game show on the Falcon Sports Radio Network.
Now we'll hear from Tyler Sheehan and Freddie Barnes about that game and the game tying drive, the game winning 2-point conversion. This was in the days following the game. First, Tyler Sheehan.
Let's talk about the game tying drive. Well, you've been practicing that in your backyard and in your dreams forever. Tell me about, as you guys took possession, what was the attitude and what were you saying to the guys?
We just got to stay composed. We know it's going to be loud going down there, so we just got to stay composed, do our assignments, do what we've been practicing all week. We probably had a great game plan for a two-minute drill. We had a great game plan throughout the game, so we just went out there and we executed, and that's the big thing with us is execution. No penalties and executing. So.
Now, Coach said that they, in their minds, knew, you know, long ago, this was always their plan if they were in that situation on the road. When did you guys as a unit know you would go for two if you scored? Did you know it before the possession or not until you scored?
I didn't know until we scored. I actually came off the sidelines, and Coach Hunter's like, no, we're going for two. I thought we were going to maybe try to go one more overtime, see if we could hold them on defense or something, but we went for it, and we knew the play. Everybody knew the play. They even knew the play probably because we ran it so many times in the past, but it's a very hard play to stop, and we executed it real well.
Obviously, the play is a base in the offense. As it was developing, when you let that ball go, how sure were you that it was going to get there? Because there looked like a few hands between you and Freddie Barnes.
From my point of view, I was actually positive it was going in. Like, I came back, and everybody was like, wow, that was real close. And I was like, it didn't look that close to me. Like, I was zoned in on where the ball had to go, and my mom and dad said from the up in the stands, they said they thought when I let it go, it was going to be either tipped away or intercepted. And I was real surprised by that because I didn't see it happen. And when I let go of the ball, I knew exactly where I was going. So I had confidence that the play was going to work throughout the whole scheme of it.
I also spoke with Freddie Barnes about the Minnesota win.
From being the quarterback to the receiver, you had a little more appreciation for what you needed to do?
Yeah, I understood what was going on and what needed to happen in order for it to work. It was actually the snap was kind of late than what we're normally used to. It's supposed to be a C-gap snap, and I actually almost got to our first receiver on the inside before I cut it up. And a lot of times you got the tendency to lean forward and when you're expecting the snap to be a little sooner. So I'm just happy that I stayed straight until I saw one of my receivers move. So it could have been real bad for us if I wasn't paying super attention.
Great memories there. The very next season, BG would open the campaign at Pittsburgh at Heinz Field.
Pitt would go on to a 9-win season and was ranked number 25 of the nation at the time of the game and were pretty strong favorites to get the win with Coach Dave Wannstedt, but the Falcons had other ideas. Although early, it looked like Pitt would hold court. They led 14-0 and really were strong in the first quarter, but Bowling Green hung in and in the second quarter finally started to get things going their way. Still down 14-0, Chris Bullock got the Falcons close.
Again, jet sweep fake to Kelly. Barnes rolling right, looking to pass. Throwing downfield, he has a man. Inside the 10, it's Bullock. Spins out of two tackles, just short of the goal line. Chris Bullock inside the one. Aaron Berry barely knocked him down before he reached pay dirt. Barnes to Bullock, 23 yards. Falcon first and goal inside the one.
After that effort by Bullock, it was the first of two touchdowns for tight end Jimmy Scheidler.
We saw Freddie Barnes at QB early in the game in the shotgun formation. Here we go, second and goal at the 5.
Freddie back in the shotgun.
Freddie Barnes, the quarterback in the shotgun. Sheehan is wide right. Now a motion man left to right on the handoff, fake to Kelly. Barnes will throw into the end zone. Touchdown, BGSU, Jimmy Scheidler. Freddie Barnes with a touchdown pass, and the Falcons are on the board for the first time in 2008. With 8:01 to play, first half, it's Pittsburgh 14 and Bowling Green 6.
Later in the second quarter, BG would tie the game as again Scheidler caught a touchdown pass.
Third and goal from the 3, Sheehan under center, single back behind him is Bullock. Slot left, in motion now is Scheidler over to the right side. Back in the shotgun now goes Sheehan, with Bullock beside him. Turner in motion, left to right, Sheehan rolling right. Wants to throw back left. He will open Scheidler again. Touchdown, BGSU. Jimmy Scheindler, his second TD catch of the day. Everybody going to the right. Scheindler all by his lonesome over on the left. Touchdown, Orange and Brown.
I tell you what, that was not an easy catch either. He had to stretch out. What is Scheindler? 6'3", 6'4"?
6'4", they listed.
He looked like he's about 6'6", stretching out there.
That was not an easy catch over the shoulder. Absolutely not. Sonisha Vermillo's PAT can tie it, and it does. 1:31 to play. First half. Pitt, 14. Bowling Green, 14.
The Panthers kicked the field goal at the gun first half to take a 17-14 lead to the locker room. Bowling Green, however, carried the action in the third quarter and late in the quarter finally took the lead.
Let's see if the Falcons go under center with Tyler Sheehan. Oh, Sheehan's going to split out. Turner will be the quarterback. Turner will set up the shotgun by himself. Bullock, Partridge, Parks, and Sheehan wide to the right. And wide left is Ray Hudson. Turner takes a snap, running right, cuts it up, breaks a tackle to the goal line, touchdown! Orange and Brown, A.T. with the 9-yard touchdown run. And the Falcons take the lead at the 3:53 mark. Quarter number three here at Heinz Field. BGSU 20, Pitt Panthers 17.
Anthony Turner's touchdown gave BG a 20-17 lead as the PAT was blocked. But Bowling Green had taken momentum, and they wouldn't let up. In the fourth quarter, the defense forced a key turnover.
Again, an eye for Pitt. LaRod Stevens howling the tailback. Motion man right to left is McGee. Stull takes the handoff, drops back. He's hit as he throws. That could be a fumble. It is. It's picked up by BG at the 17-yard line. Recovered by the Falcons, and they have the football. Angelo McNone on the recovery, Antonio Smith on the hit, and BG gets another turnover at the Pitt 11. McNone is put down.
After that turnover, Bowling Green would cash in what would prove to be the final points of the day.
He'll take the snap, pressure from Pitt, throw is away, end zone nearly intercepted. Sheehan is hurt for the moment, he's gonna get up. That ball intended for Partridge, nearly intercepted by Eric Thatcher, looked like. Oh, Sheehan took a shot as Pitt is bringing the heat now. They've found a kink in that BG offense, and it's the blitz. Sheehan will work out of the shotgun again. Second and 10 at the Pitt 11. 12 minutes left in this game. Falcons up 20-17. After a fumble, they're knocking on the door. Sheehan alone in the shotgun. Two wideouts to the right, three to the left. Sheehan awaiting the snap from the Pitt 11. He's going to run right side. He's in the clear. Touchdown, Tyler Sheehan. 11-yard run. Touchdown, Orange and Brown. And with 11:59 to go here at Heinz Field, Bowling Green 26, Pitt Panthers 17.
27-17 was the final, first game of 2008.
Great to relive those wins over Pittsburgh there and previously against Minnesota. That's going to do it for this edition of the Ziggy Cast. Come back tomorrow. We'll relive the 2009 win over Toledo and the 2015 win at Purdue. Until then, this is Todd Walker saying, "Aye, Ziggy Zumba."
Thanks for listening to the BGSU Ziggy Cast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.